Today we table the Division of Revenue Second Amendment Bill, the Second Adjustment Appropriations Bill, the 2020 Rates and Monetary Amounts and Amendment of Revenue Laws Bill, the 2020 Taxation Laws Amendment Bill, the 2020 Tax Administration Laws Amendment Bill, the 2020 Second Adjusted Estimates of National Expenditure, and finally the 2020 Medium-Term Budget Policy Statement. Honorable members, 26 years ago, President Nelson Mandela stood at this very spot to weave the tapestry of our newly democratic country. So it is quite correct when some of us say we have stood where giants have stood before. Freedom was only 2 weeks old. Madiba challenged us to, and I quote, meet despair with hope and death with a reaffirmation of the beauty of life, unquote. His plan for the country's first democratic administration committed us to fiscal rehabilitation after the devastation visited upon our public finances by the apartheid regime. Most of us sitting here today in this house did not know it then, but Madiba was ushering in a period of unmatched social progress in our history. Over the next 15 years, the economy began to reemerge from the apartheid crisis. Real GDP growth rose by 61%, and 5.3 million jobs were created. We are today fiscally at a moment not too dissimilar to 1994. We must rebuild our economy, rehabilitate our public finances, and recover from the devastation visited upon us by COVID-19. As we rose to that fiscal challenge then, so we will rise to this one this time. 2 weeks ago, President Ramaphosa, in fact, here it says, President Matamela Cyril Ramaphosa laid out, I was a bit scared to mention his names, laid out the government's consensus-driven and action-oriented economic reconstruction and recovery plan. I say consensus-driven because in large part, the plan was discussed and consulted upon at NEDLAC and eventually agreed upon. This particular plan is urgent, and all of us should do everything in our power to implement it. Deputy Speaker, Special Adjustments Budget was prepared in an environment of extreme uncertainty. Given the economic situation then, government proposed a three-year fiscal consolidation program. Since June, more data has become available. The economy now is expected to contract by 7.8% this year. And the 2021 outlook is more uncertain. Job losses have been particularly severe. But we cannot allow ourselves to fall into a season of despair, despite the challenges of the pandemic. We cannot allow ourselves to move towards a sovereign debt crisis. We have it within our power to reverse
this pathway. Therefore, today, government sets out an active set of measures to avoid a sovereign debt crisis. We table a five-year fiscal consolidation pathway that promotes economic growth while bringing debt under control. The fiscal measures realign the composition of our spending from consumption towards investment and support efforts to lower the cost of capital. Our revised fiscal framework puts us on a course to stabilize the debt to GDP ratio at around 95% within the next 5 years. But I must emphasize that this means that going forward, the risk is on the upside. The stock of gross debt will rise from roughly 4 trillion this year to 5.5 trillion in 2023-24. May I repeat this? Our revised fiscal framework puts us on a course to stabilize the debt to GDP ratio at around 95% within the next 5 years, very close to 100% of GDP. So the risks are higher. Therefore, there cannot be any slippage on the fiscus. There's no room for slippage. Yes, I think you're right, yes. Thank you for that. I think you went to a better school than me.
Thank you.
The stock of gross debt will rise from roughly 4 trillion this year to 5.5 trillion in 23-24. The medium-term fiscal strategy narrows the main budget primary deficit from an expected 266 billion rand in 21-22 to 84 billion rand in 23-24, and we achieve a surplus by 25-26. We propose
the second.
We propose, Deputy Speaker, consolidated spending of 6.2 trillion over the 2021 medium-term expenditure framework, of which 1.2 trillion goes to learning and culture. Here by culture, we don't mean just arts and culture. We mean education, basic education, higher education, and so on, including arts and culture. 978 billion to social development and 724 billion to health. We forecast the South African economy to grow by 3.3% in 2021, 1.7% in 2022, and 1.5% in 2023. Why 3.3% in 2021? It's because of the base effects from a sharp contraction to a recovery. Deputy Speaker, let me say that the President, by putting an economic reconstruction and recovery plan, has ensured that we accelerate the growth potential of the economy. This will secure fiscal sustainability and build this economy better than before. The point we are making here is that we need to get the economy to grow so that we can collect more tax and therefore we can have a better fiscal sustainability situation. Turning now to the economic context, a sharp and hopefully short global recession is underway. The International Monetary Fund now expects global output to contract by 4.4% in 2020 before rebounding to 5.2% in 2021. This is in the October World Economic Outlook. Growth in advanced countries is strengthening. Next year, emerging market countries are set to grow by 6%. Sub-Saharan Africa is expected to rebound to growth of 3.1% in 2021. As always, Africa has been at the forefront of innovative solutions to the crisis, including delivering social assistance through digital technology. Ex Africa Semper Eliquid Novi. Deputy Speaker, you are now well aware that the country's aloe ferox is drought resistant. It can survive the harshest of circumstances and can certainly withstand a pandemic. Our little aloe ferox has survived. It is recovering very well. I was concerned at some stage that it might not be alive. In South Africa, the high frequency data that we collect suggests that green shoots are beginning to emerge. At this stage, it looks like there will be a strong rebound in the next quarter. This will be supported by the government's economic reconstruction and recovery plan. Already there is progress on implementation of the plan. Honorable members, improving the supply of electricity is urgent. In line with this plan, there is progress in allowing municipalities to buy electricity from different sources. In addition, the way has been opened for the procurement of almost 12,000 megawatts of new electricity capacity to be provided by independent power producers. The ongoing implementation of the Eskom roadmap and the unbundling continues. Divisional managing directors and boards of directors have already been appointed. Infrastructure and structural reforms are at the center of the recovery plan. Mr. President, our government, under your wise leadership, has championed the infrastructure fund to implementation, and we are starting to see the results. Subsidies of 2.2 billion will support the social housing program aimed at poor working South Africans. A further 6.7 billion has been contractually committed to this program, and we expect the total investment amount from this program to be around 20 billion over the next 10 years. As a consequence of the infrastructure fund, the student housing program worth an estimated 96 billion rand is underway. It will service nearly 300,000 students a year when completed. The budget facility for infrastructure will support new projects, including through blended finance in partnership with the private sector. This includes hospital projects in KwaZulu-Natal, such as the extension of the Chief Albert Luthuli Hospital, and in the Western Cape, like the Tygerberg and Klapfontein Hospitals. This Tygerberg hospital thing, it still has a black and white section. There's a section where blacks used to go, the section where whites used to go. So structurally it's still there. So the thing has to be removed. It was removed and a completely new hospital constructed there. It's unbelievable. I thought that was a DA government there. There are exciting new proposals for the development of more than 12 harbors in the Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, Northern Cape, and Western Cape. Finally, we will review our existing public finance regulatory framework to unlock infrastructure investment by the broader government. Over and above this, the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa has issued an invitation for people to apply for the auction of additional spectrum. Government has initiated a process to review Regulation 28 to make it easier for retirement funds to increase their investments in infrastructure. Notwithstanding this encouraging progress, there are priority structural reforms that require acceleration. As we have mentioned before, we have started Operation Vulindlela as a critical coordination tool to unlock and fast-track implementation of the structural economic reform agenda. And the Deputy Minister, Masondo, is leading this initiative, and a technical team headed by Dr. Sean Phillips will draw on expertise and capacity from the private sector and the public sector as well. This will ensure that implementation is well coordinated, sequenced, and timeless. In the light of the launching of the Economic Reconstruction and Recovery Program, the presidency will very much be involved with us in this process, so that the presidency can help us drive the program because they're at the center of government. Parliament plays an important role in this reform agenda. We thank this House for fast-tracking consideration for the Economic Regulation of Transport Bill. Under the leadership of the Minister of Health, government is exploring greater participation in the COVAX facility, a global initiative to ensure equitable access to future vaccines. In the area of social protection, we are happy to announce a historic agreement with all NEDLAC constituencies for the annuitization of provident funds beginning in March 2021, which will enable all workers to continue to enjoy tax deductions on their contributions. We thank the Labour constituency for identifying appropriate annuity products for low-income workers. The NEDLAC constituencies also agree to accelerate the introduction of auto-enrollment for all employed workers and the establishment of a fund to cater for workers currently excluded from pension fund coverage as an urgent intervention towards a comprehensive social security system. Government will present legislation next year to allow for limited pension fund coverage. Government will present legislation next year to allow for limited pre-retirement withdrawals under certain circumstances linked to mandatory preservation requirements. Today, we announce further steps to make cross-border business easier, including inward listings, loop structures, and corporate foreign borrowings. In other words, exchange controls. Work is well advanced to modernize the cross-border flows management regime to support South Africa's growth as an investment and financial hub of the African continent. I now provide an update on the fiscal relief package. In April this year, government announced a major fiscal relief package of around 500 billion rand, or 10% of GDP, including, there's a reason why I'm doing this, to answer the question, where has the 500 billion rand gone? So one, more than 30 billion for health and other frontline services. Two, support for vulnerable households, which is now in excess of 50 billion rand. 3, more than 40 billion rand for wage protection through the unemployment insurance fund. 4, around 100 billion for job creation initiatives, which will now be spread over the MTEF. 5, 200 billion rand for a credit guarantee scheme, a scheme involving the National Treasury, South African Reserve Bank, and the banking sector. 6, 20 billion rand towards municipalities to assist them with COVID-19 related activities. 7, 70 billion rand towards emergency tax measures, which are announced. That arithmetically makes up 500 billion. As the pandemic unfolded, some shifts in resources could be implemented. The resources for the relief package came from a variety of sources, including drawing down the UIF reserves, the issuing of new guarantees, and projected revenue losses. During the lockdown, cash grants were paid to over 22 million people, nearly half the population. To reach the poorest South African households, we expanded social protection. 7 million people accessed the temporary employment relief scheme through the UIF. The special COVID-19 social relief of distress reached 6 million people. The government has decided to extend the social relief of distress grant to the end of January 2021. Because this grant is very effective in reaching the unemployed, we propose to redirect 6.8 billion rand from the public employment program towards this relief of distress. The temporary increases, unfortunately, for this top up of the grants will have to come to an end, unfortunately. These adjustments appropriation also adds 1 billion rand for food relief to fight hunger. Honorable members, we are happy to announce today that we are allocating 12.6 billion in this financial year to the game-changing employment initiatives that are championed by the President. The provincial equitable share is augmented by 7 billion rand to support jobs at fee-paying public schools and government-subsidized independent schools. 600 million rand goes to employ early childhood development and social workers. Incidentally, the social workers have been very important through this period in counseling people, helping people through the process. And very rarely do we say anything positive about the social workers, but they play an important role in social cohesion in our communities. 2 billion rand is allocated for the Working for Fire. Working for Fire, you stop the fire breaks. Working for Water, removing all these invasive plants and so on. So work is being done and money is being allocated for these processes. The rest of the allocation from the employment initiative is divided between transport, arts, sports and culture, health and agricultural sectors. The district development model will fast track infrastructure and general socio-economic development. We should see the return of the Local Economic Development Initiative, the LED, very critical to local economic development. The revised division of revenue for 2020-21 proposes allocations of 806.7 billion to national departments, 628.3 billion to provinces, and 139.9 billion to local government. We're often criticized as to why is the allocation to local government seemingly lower than province and national. People more often forget that, in addition, local government can raise own revenue through the collection of rates and taxes and so on. So that's why it's like that. If the situation was different, the picture would be upside down, to be local, then provincial and national. But this is what we are. After extensive consultations between the Banking Association, the National Treasury and the South African Reserve Bank, work is underway to review the loan guarantee scheme to improve its take-up. I will also be working with my colleagues in the cabinet to boost the business restart efforts. Basically, it means small business development and DTI. In summary, non-interest spending in 2020-21 is unchanged relative to the special adjustments budgets at 1.6 trillion. All additional pressures have been accommodated through adjustments elsewhere. Gross tax revenue is revised down, but this is offset by other receipts into the National Revenue Fund. For example, there have been some exchange rate benefits and so on, so that has improved the situation. Main budget revenue is now projected to be 1.6 trillion less compared to the special adjustment budget. Debt service costs are revised down by 3.4 billion, in part because of lower borrowing costs. So now I come to the revised main budget deficit. Altogether, the in-year revised main budget deficit is now expected to be 707 billion rand, a little better than during the special adjustments budget, as a ratio of GDP stays almost the same. The consolidated deficit is also marginally better in rand terms, but unchanged as well as a proportion of GDP at around 15.7%. Government has broadened its financing strategy to include drawing down on sterilization and foreign currency deposits. We're also borrowing at favorable rates from international financial institutions. Yes, from the IMF. Yes, from the African Development Bank. Yes, from the BRICS Bank. So there's no underground borrowing. It's all in the open. I now turn to the medium term. Oh, incidentally, I can say it here, the BRICS Bank is in conversation with us about extending another $1 billion to us. I now turn to the medium-term fiscal strategy. The medium-term fiscal strategy. As we chart our way forward, we are reminded of the grisly sea captain in Samuel Coleridge's poem, The Rime of the Ancient Mariner, who is hit by a great tempest that throws his ship off course. And I quote, "And now the storm blast came, and he was tyrannous and strong. He struck with his overtaking wings and chased us south along," unquote. Our job is not to tremble in fear at the storm blast, neither at plagues, nor at the wide open mouth of the hippopotamus. Armed with a strong sense of direction, steadfastness, resolution, and determination, we face these perils head on. Our compass points towards fiscal sustainability and we must all face the same way. In June, we published the medium-term spending plans and long-term debt projections to spark robust debate on our fiscal path. Here in this House, within the government, with community activists, with civil society, with the trade union movement, and with our provincial and municipal colleagues, with small and big business, in opinions expressed by the media platforms. We are grateful for the constructive criticism. We normally listen to all conversations. We hear the productive ones. We don't hear the unproductive ones. We listen to all. We hear the productive ones. We don't hear the unproductive ones. South Africans love a debate, as we all know. I'm sure you like this, even about garlic. This is a glorious, loud, and very active democracy that we so hard fought for. Mr. President, you summarized the consensus 2 weeks ago, and I quote, "We cannot sustain the current levels of debt, particularly as increasing borrowing costs are diverting resources that should be going to economic and social development," unquote. We must now rally behind fiscal rehabilitation and growth. Right now, government is borrowing at a rate of 2.1 billion rand per day. Madam Speaker, this cannot continue. We must be careful to avoid the fate of countries such as Argentina and Ecuador that have defaulted on their debt this year. Countries that find themselves in default usually see sharp GDP contractions and major currency depreciations. On current trends, more of our taxes have been transferred to bondholders who hold our debt rather than to critical services for our people. An uncontrolled increase in borrowing costs would harm small business, ordinary South Africans, and the poor the most. The cabinet remains resolute and will walk through the narrow gate towards fiscal sustainability. Before today, the economy languished in a trap of paralysis. As the rhyme of the ancient mariner would say, as idle as a painted ship upon a painted ocean, unquote. Today we break free from some of the risks that we have been facing. We face this question all the time. Why don't we spend our way out of the present crisis? What's wrong with you people in the National Treasury? Why don't you spend your way out of this crisis? Well, certainly in 2009, when we had debt of 31.5% of GDP, and the yield, the real yield on government debt was about 3%, every rand of government spent got us one rand and 60 cents in GDP. So 1 rand spent, in GDP terms, 1 rand 60. It's in 2009. Now, however, at such elevated real interest rates, every additional rand gets less than a rand in GDP. So the situation has changed. As John Maynard Keynes said, when the situation changes, I change my mind. Don't you, sir? You have to change your mind. Otherwise, you suffer from what we call an ochklapi approach. Irrespective of the situation, you just keep moving. Even when there's a flood in front of you, you just keep going into the water. So it means we're actually far more poorer than we thought we were. And it is easy to see why. As we borrow more, we pay even more in debt servicing costs. We have also not been spending sufficiently on infrastructure, which is important in long-term economic growth. We act here to instill confidence amongst discouraged work seekers. Deputy Speaker, we stand here before you to instill confidence amongst discouraged work seekers, businesses which have been bruised by the lockdown and facing uncertainty, farmers and farm workers who produce the food for the country, and our international partners who know that South Africa is a great place to invest. Amongst other things, we will, one, make it easy to do business. We must remove the needlessly complex red tape that increases the cost of doing business. Two, we must create a stable and predictable set of policies. As we rebuild, there must be universal understanding of the policy trajectory of our government. It is not only investors that need confidence, but also every person needs confidence. As a farmer, I plant because I know in 7 years' time I'm going to reap what I planted. I want to see those avocados in 7 years. I need to have the confidence to plant today because I won't reap tomorrow. I will harvest in 7 years' time. But I need the policy certainty in this regard. Three, we must use our ingenuity and adapt after the ravages of the pandemic. We must be creative. Not everything is going to come from the government, but it has to be a combination of government, private enterprise, private individuals, small and medium enterprises coming together, with the banking sector coming in to provide the lubricants for the economy to function. Four, we must embrace a sustainable future and work towards a green and just transition. And avoid fighting amongst each other and pointing fingers, whether it's at Senegal or everywhere, creating a sense of a country that's about to collapse. We must avoid that and all work together in building the future of this country. The future of work is going to be different in the post-lockdown period. We're seeing it already. We're seeing it here in Parliament, that we are not all here as we usually should be. It's a different working situation. We see it in government departments, in private sector, that technology is now key. And going forward, technology is going to be key for the rebuilding of the economy. I've been surprised since I arrived here in Cape Town that driving from the office here to my residence has become much easier. There's less congestion. The power of technology. Now, as we go forward together, as I indicated above, as part of our post-pandemic rehabilitation, I actually prefer to call it post-lockdown rehabilitation, we need to come together to forge a new consensus on the public sector employee compensation. We need a strategic conversation, one which takes into account the needs of the country as a whole. Our compatriots in the private sector have already made sacrifices and even negotiated salary reductions to keep the business is afloat. Over the past 5 years, public sector employee compensation grew by 7.2% a year on average, well above inflation. Over the next 5 years, it will need to grow much, much lower. The Minister of the Department of Public Service and Administration and the leadership of the public service unions are meeting to discuss how best to adapt to this new reality, that we have to do more with less, and that we're in this together. We also wish to thank the minister and the trade unions in the public sector that he's talking to for the seriousness with which they are approaching this matter. I must stress, however, that our public servants do very important work for our country. They are patriots. They too wish to unburden our country of debt. They want to bequeath assets and not liabilities to the next generation. Still, we cannot expect our civil service to carry the burden of nation building alone. Consideration, therefore, should be given to the proposal for an across-the-board compensation pay reductions to management-level positions across national, provincial, and municipal governments, state-owned enterprises, and all other senior public representatives. Consideration should be given to the proposal for the across-the-board compensation pay reductions to management-level positions across national, provincial, and municipal governments, state-owned enterprises, as well as all other senior public representatives. Now, progress on zero-based budgeting and spending reviews. Zero-based budgeting will be piloted at the Department of Public Enterprises, but also at the National Treasury next year. This will be a fully integrated process going into the budget system for the 23 budgets. In practice, it will mean program by program, budget by budget, project by project analysis. We must discard those things that we no longer need to do and scale up those that are essential for progress. Can't continue doing the same thing all over again. It's too expensive. Doesn't produce any result. You know, it's like a crab that thinks it's going forward, but it's going sideways. Not helpful. Now I come to state-owned enterprises. Deputy Speaker, Honorable Members, Mr. President, 3 billion rand was allocated to the land bank in June. The bank will require an additional 7 billion rand over the medium term to support its restructuring and refocus. R10.5 billion rand is allocated to SAA to implement its business rescue plan. Well, let me repeat. R10.5 billion rand is allocated to SAA to implement its business rescue plan. This allocation is funded through reductions to the baselines of national departments, public entities, and conditional grants. This allocation is in addition to the 16.4 billion rand allocated over the 2020 MTF in the February budget for settling guaranteed debt and interest. You can't run away from your obligations. Our approach is in line with the principle that funding to state-owned enterprises must come within the current framework and reprioritize from elsewhere. We need, however, to make it clear that the continuous funding of inefficient, non-functional state-owned enterprises has to be reconsidered. In this instance, we will work together with the Department of Public Enterprises to deal with these matters. For our part, we are determined that whatever the demands, we cannot break the fiscal framework. The final part of our duties as captains through the storm is to strengthen the ship. The COVID-19 pandemic has given rise to shameful and exploitative acts of corruption. This has overshadowed our collective achievements in saving lives and supporting livelihoods. We must continue our efforts to defeat the corrupt and plug the loopholes. Efforts to support a rapid response to COVID-19 undermine the need for a comprehensive procurement reform. The National Treasury has withdrawn the emergency procurement instruction note and required all bodies to revert to normal procurement processes. Procurement is now slowed down due to a few scoundrels who put themselves ahead of our country. We must all suffer as a result of their actions. The details of all COVID-19 related procurement, including the names of companies awarded contracts, have been published. The majority of health spending takes place at provincial level. Provinces are taking actions against those found to have been involved in corrupt practices. The South African Revenue Service is working with other law enforcement agencies to evaluate 3.5 billion rand worth of tenders which were awarded to entities not registered for VAT. In addition, the State Capture Commission of Inquiry is allocated an additional amount of 63 million rand from the Department of Justice to finalize investigations, hearings, and produce a closeout report. Honorable Speaker, Deputy Speaker rather, President and members of the House, today we set out a course back to prosperity. Growth is slowly returning. As I said, the green shoots are beginning to show. Things are looking much better. The 2020 MTB medium-term budget policy statement sets out our course forward. Just to remind members, we intend to run a primary surplus on the main budget by 25-26 by constraining non-interest spending growth. Two, we shift spending from consumption to investment. Over the MTEF, the fastest growing item other than debt service costs is spending on capital goods, i.e. investment, which is projected to grow at 7.8% a year. We allocate resources for the economic reconstruction and recovery program. Now, of course, my ACDP colleagues will be very unhappy if I don't turn to the Holy Book. The Gospel according to John chapter 12, verse 35, quote, "You are going to have the light just a little longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they're going. So walk while there's still a little light." In economic terms, it means do something whilst you still have an opportunity to do. Today, we embrace our higher purpose as citizens and leaders to take forward the vision of nation building. Together, we can shape a new destiny for a great, vibrant, beautiful country. Our thanks go to the President and the Deputy President for their support, Cabinet colleagues, the members of the Minister's Committee on the Budget, called MinCombat, the MECs of Finance, Team Finance. Thanks are also due to the chairpersons of the Standing Committee on Finance and Appropriations Committee, Mr. Joe Maswanganyi and Mr. Sfiso Buthelezi, respectively, and members of the respective parliamentary committees. The medium-term budget policy statement coincides today with another important process, the tabling of the tax bills, as I mentioned. I'm grateful to the standing and select committees on appropriations and finance for the work they've done already. They have the responsibility for steering the consideration of the tax bills, giving effect to the revenue proposals as announced in the 2020 annual budget. In February, and related administration matters, they will also consider the 2020 Division of Revenue Second Amendment Bill and the 2020 Second Adjustments Appropriation Bill. We would also like to thank the Governor of the South African Reserve Bank, Mr. Lesedi Khanyago, and his staff for their continued collaboration with us whilst maintaining the independence of the respective institutions. A special word of thanks goes to the Deputy Minister of Finance, Dr. David Masondo, and the Director General of the National Treasury, Mr. Dondo Mukhajane, and the team for their courage, hard work, and commitment. Finally, we express our thanks to members of this House as a whole. We express also appreciation to the people of South Africa who continue to work with us as we chart the way to a promising destination. You can see.